So we're going to talk for a few minutes tonight about being the body, and I'm going to do that in the context of an illustration of a little something I experienced yesterday. But since we also experienced our adult vacation Bible school yesterday, and I had some books that I wanted to tell you about, and I couldn't find at the moment, just because I got a little discombobulated with the rush around before BBS, getting to the hospital and such. I did bring the two that I thought I had with me yesterday that I didn't, and I've sent you each an email with the list of books if you want to look them up for yourself online. This one is, I got this one on eBay for like a dollar. Really good place to go if you want to get a used book. It's a little frayed, but the contents are perfect, right? So this is just called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Christian Prayers and Devotions. And so if you're thinking about wanting to make some more models for your prayer beads, something like this is a wonderful resource, as well as the Book of Common Prayer, which was on that list. But the other one that I know, because it's written by a neuropsychologist, some of you just kind of looked at me and groaned like, good Lord, that must be boring. But it's really not, I promise you. This is called How God Changes Your Brain. And this is really fascinating stuff. If you want to take a look-see at this book before you get out of here, it'll be over here this evening. Or if you want to borrow it, I'm finished with it if you promise to get it back to me or pass it on to the next person. But it's by Dr. Andrew Newberg. And he's really cutting edge in a field of something called neurotheology, which studies how our religious disciplines and practices actually do have an impact on our psychology, our neurology, our biology, our neuropsychological processes, and for the better. So good stuff, fun stuff. One other book, which has nothing to do with adult VBS, but look at this. This came in. This is our 40th anniversary picture directory. And when I used to do inpatient work on the children's unit, every now and then we'd get a kid that would come through, and we didn't know what at first we couldn't figure out what the diagnosis was. And it was a little joke amongst us. We used to, I don't think we ever wrote this on the chart. God help us if we did. But we used to just use the initials FLC, which stood for funny looking children, right? Funny looking child. We don't know what's wrong with that kid. But let me tell you, there's some FLCs in here, some funny looking Christians. No, it's really cool. Y'all look great. So if you have not picked up your directory, do so. See Miss Renee. She'll get one for you. But what I really wanted to spend just a moment or two talking to you about today, about being the body of Christ, what it means. You heard that beautiful epistle that Paul wrote to the Roman church about the gifts that each person brings, that, I think this can't be said enough, that every single Christian has a call on their life. We sometimes think that people who are called are just the people who go formally into ministry. Brennan is, well, he's not with us this evening. I was pointing over to where he usually is. But Brennan is discerning a call in his life. He's getting ready to go away to college and to do his undergraduate degree. And he's thinking already about seminary when he finishes his undergraduate studies. So he may end up formally in ministry, and what a beautiful calling. I can tell you, when I was going away, I didn't first go away to college. I kind of stood around in New Orleans and played music. For some reason, I had some belief that God's calling on my life was to grow my hair long and play in clubs all night long. Why my dad let me do that, I'll never know, but you can ask him. But sooner or later, I grew up, got a haircut, and went away to school. But it was still not, 25 years later before I answered the call. But the fact of the matter is that quote-unquote call is not just for ministers or clergy. It's for every single Christian. And I think that's the point of Paul's writing in Romans today. He says, if you've got a gift for prophesying, you need to prophesy. If you've got a gift of encouragement, your job is to encourage people. I'm looking over here at these two because they're making a living out of that. They have a gift of presence. In the Jesuit or the Ignatian sense of the word, the theology of Ignatius, St. Ignatius, is just to be with someone, to be with them in the moment. And that's what these two ladies do. And it's a beautiful vocation. It's a beautiful ministry. They make their living doing that. And I look at Miss Pat and I think about Miss Dottie and Mr. Earl, and you could see the fruit of that ministry, that when she was with them, just how they thrived, and what a blessing it was for you to have those years with them and such. So whatever your gift is, you're called to use it. And I would tell you that very strongly, in fact, if you've got a gift that God has given you and you're not using it to better the world that Christ has put you in, that's a sin. It's a shame, really, but it would be a sin too. God has given each of us gifts in the body of Christ to make this world a better place that he's placed us in. And so I would encourage you to figure out what those gifts are if you're unsure, and find yourself doing them. One of the gifts that, I guess one of the blessings I have as a minister is to be able to do some of the formal parts of the church, such as baptizing people. And, I remember the very first baptism I performed in 2010. It wasn't on a baby. It was on not a grown man, but someone who's grown up to be a wonderful young man, and that was Brennan. I think he was 10 or 11 years old at the time. Such a blessing. But yesterday was something on the unique side, and I want to tell you the story about it because it's really not about me and or what I experienced, or Madison was with me and what she experienced. It's really not about us. It's about the body of Christ and how God uses the entire body of Christ. We were driving away from, we just visited with my sister for her birthday, and I got a phone call randomly from Lakeside NICU. The nurse there had said that she'd gotten my name from another pastor who she had called first, but was unable to help them out because of where he was at the time, and it was kind of an urgent thing, and they were wondering if I could come, like now, to NICU to perform a baptism on a baby that they did not expect would make it through the night. He was born on Tuesday. This is Wednesday evening on the way to VBS that we're getting the call. And I said, yeah, we'll be there. And, I guess 1,000 things were running through my mind at the time, like, okay, how do I do this in a hospital room? You don't have a baptismal font, and just kind of all the logistics of it. Will I be able to get back in time at 6:30 to start the VBS and all those sorts of things? And I tell you, that slaps you right in the face when you walk into a room, because I just had not prepared myself to walk into a room and see a little baby that's literally this big with wires and tubes and just the condition that he was in. And his mother was not able to be there for the baptism. She had actually, this is at Lakeside, and she had to be removed from Lakeside immediately after giving birth the day before, and she was sent downtown to Tulane Hospital, where she was in critical condition in ICU because she's suffering from ovarian cancer. And so the nurse was able to use her iPhone, and using FaceTime, mom was able to participate in this baby's baptism. And to I tell you, that's perspective changing when you see something like that. To see this 25-year-old lady on a phone screen as we're baptizing this little bitty baby, and how she's smiling from ear to ear and tears are streaming because she's so joyful that her baby got baptized. It is, it's an incredibly perspective setting, changing, enhancing moment that I just thought was necessary to share with you, because that's you. It's not just me. That's the body of Christ. That's what Paul is talking about, that, we hear it probably explained to us a little better when he talks to the church at Corinth. in 1 Corinthians when he's explaining to them such things as just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So it was literally my hands that were laid on that baby's forehead, that tiny little forehead. But, you know, my hand is connected to my arm, but it's really not. My hand is connected to this church, to each and every one of you who, by your obedience to God, has called me and who holds me accountable as a minister, formally as a minister of the Lord. And you're connected. Each and every one of you are connected to the larger universal body of Christ, that we stand firm and we say these are the things that we believe. These are the things that make us the body of Christ, that we believe in the Blessed Trinity, that God is one within three separate persons. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Son. Neither are the Holy Spirit. They are three individual persons, but they make one true God. And we stand for these things, and we baptize in that Trinitarian formula, just as we heard in today's gospel account that Jesus tells us to, that that's our job as the body of Christ, that our hands are to go out there and touch people and to bring them in and to make them disciples of Christ. And so we think of the formal baptism of water, but, you know, there's another way of looking at that as well, that word literally translates to mean immersion. And so you can think of it as an immersion into water, but you can also think of it as an immersion into the body of Christ. That each and every one of us is called in our gifts to go out and figure out how we're going to witness to the world to get them immersed into the body of Christ. And so, again, you know, that illustration, yeah, it was physically my hand and it's attached to my arm, but I, you know, I'm attached to you and you're attached to the Universal Christian Church, and it's your gifts and your offerings that make it possible for me to be able to do the things that I do for the body of Christ. And it's just as awesome as that was. I've got to tell you, that was an experience that I don't want to say I wish I didn't have to do it, but I was at the same time blessed to do it, but it was probably one of the most unsettling things I've witnessed in a long time. And then wrapped in that was one of the most joy-filled things as well, to see that mother and her response, and to know that for a moment the body of Christ was able to reach through a phone and bring her a bit of comfort as her baby lie dying, and potentially she also faces the prospect of an early death. I don't know how sick she is. I didn't get all the details. I just know she's in critical care, and ovarian cancer is nothing to play with. But we're called to be the body of Christ, folks. And even in the midst of the stuff that seems to be unsettling, it can be a great joy for each of us when we take what Lord is asking us to do very seriously, and we go out and we use those gifts that he's given to each of us. And that's my prayer for you, that you don't take it lightly, that whatever it is you're called to do, that beautiful praise report Kelly offered about what she got from a parent and her vocation of teaching. You heard Paul say that today. And he's talking probably more specifically about teaching in the church, but that's your vocation, and you have an opportunity to reach kids, and what a blessing it is when you get that affirmation that you've reached somebody. So whatever it is the Lord has gifted you with, my prayer is that you use it for the body of Christ and to the glory of Christ's name. If you receive it, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Amen.